Please do be seated. And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it was a bit of a long reading from Acts this morning. So I've just asked Helen if she'd come and read just the first few verses of that for us again, just to remind us what it was. Thank you, Helen.
Le jour de la Pentecôte étant arrivé, ils se trouvaient tous ensemble dans un même lieu. Quand tout à coup vint du ciel un bruit tel que celui d'un violent coup de vent, qui remplit toute la maison où ils se tenaient. Ils virent apparaître des langues qu'on dit de feu. Elles se partageaient et il s'en posa une sur chacun d'eux. Tous furent alors remplis de l'Esprit Saint et commencèrent à parler en d'autres langues, selon que l'Esprit leur donnait de s'exprimer.
Merci beaucoup. Now it's strange, isn't it, when we hear somebody speak in a foreign language who you don't normally think of maybe speaking a language. Now those of us who know Helen know that she's a linguist and therefore was very well placed to be able to read the passage in French, which we knew. But it is a surprise when something like that happens. I think in my memory, I've only ever had a round of applause for something I've said in church once in recent years. And that was when we were installing the new vicar at St. Martin's. And for whatever reason, the rural dean wasn't there and the archdeacon wasn't there. So it was me and the bishop. But at the rehearsal, because you do rehearse these things, the rural dean just turned to me and said, "Do you know, it'd be really nice if you could do the introduction in Portuguese, because Valmore is Brazilian. It'd be really nice if you could do the introduction in Portuguese." So I did. Sejam bem-vindos todos a nosso culto bem importante da vida da paróquia e comunidade. Is how it starts off, because I remembered it. Do you know, we should speak in a foreign language more often if you get an applause. Actually, shall we continue? Sorry? Obrigado. See, there's somebody who speaks Portuguese. You never know, do you? You can go along to the Portuguese-speaking services at St. Martin's at 9:30 every Sunday morning if you would like to. But I don't know why I got a round of applause then. I don't know why I got a round of applause when I did it the first time. But it was a shock and it was a surprise. We did it because it was a welcoming thing to do. So it's not surprising then that when the disciples start speaking in different languages, it causes a bit of commotion. Because we read from Acts, there's that wonderful first sentence, that first verse in Acts chapter 2. You know, when they were all together, they were all in one place together. They were united in what they were doing. They're all together is how it reads. But then it goes on and says what happens to them. That the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in different languages. And people were amazed. And not surprisingly, it caused a stir because it was Pentecost, which is the second great Jewish feast. The first is Passover, which they obviously celebrated. And now it was Pentecost, which was to do with the fruits of the first harvest, the first wheat harvest, the first fruits of that. It was celebrating that. But over time, it had come to be a celebration and a commemoration of the covenant, particularly the covenant at Sinai, and the giving of the law. So there were lots of Jews in Jerusalem. That's why it says there were Jews from Jerusalem and others who had come. The place was heaving because it was one of the three festivals, Tabernacles being the other, where the Jews would come to Jerusalem. And these people hear what's happening and they begin to form a crowd and say, "What's going on? What does this mean?" And it's quite interesting that if we were the embryonic church and we were trying to work out how do we get the message out, we'd probably have a mission plan. We'd have a communications plan. You know, we'd know what we were going to do. Gathered, the church, and it's often seen as the birth of the church, what happened and the growth of Christianity did not come because of the works of those people in the room and their plans. It came because of a divine intervention of God pouring out his spirit on those people. And the people who were gathered say, what's going on? That's something we need to understand. It wasn't anything that the disciples did per se themselves. It wasn't their plans and their thought out actions. It was an intervention of God. And what we see in that early church is a church and a people who live out the spirit of the indwelling God. That's how they see themselves, as a body of believers. A body of believers who has been indwelt by the Spirit of God. And people get drawn to them. And so what had started for them as something that was personal, something that was internal, and something that was inside a closed room, suddenly becomes public. And it becomes external. And it becomes something that everybody else is interested in. And as we look at the church, we do well to remember that actually it started not because of well-made plans of humans, but because of an intervention of God as he breathed his spirit on those disciples in the room, some of whom probably didn't know what was happening, but it was a divine intervention. But as we read in Acts, it had a profound impact on their lives, how they lived, how they worshipped, and how they were. They were united. They were together, together truly, when the Spirit came. And that was attractive to the people who came. And they said, what does this mean? And Luke in his Acts, in the book of Acts, points out, says they were filled by the Spirit. But if you remember, right at the beginning of Luke's Gospel, he says, Jesus was filled with the Spirit. You know, the Spirit came upon him, and God said, this is my Son. And so Luke is pointing out that actually what's happening here is not something necessarily new, but it's a continuation of the new world order that had started when Christ came. And it's a continuation of what Christ was doing to bring about his kingdom. And the people ask, what does this mean? And they also ask, who is Jesus? And Peter points out to them, well, what it means is, it's a fulfillment of what's been said in the Old Testament. And he quotes that passage from Joel. And actually the structure he uses to explain what's going on is a Jewish sermon. He uses three passages as we go through this chapter of Acts and explains what each of them mean. But he uses this passage from Joel to say this is a continuation. And as we look at the book of Acts, the clue's in the name, because it's the book of Acts. It's not the book of the systematic theology of the disciples. It's not the book of the biblical interpretation that the disciples put on the teaching of Jesus. It's a book about the Acts of the apostles. What they did when they were gripped by this Spirit and infilled by this Spirit. And Acts is full of dramatic episodes. It's full of speeches, two of which we see today. You know, we have a dramatic episode of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we have the speech that Peter gives to explain, this is what it means. And he goes on and explains, and this is who Jesus is, the person who was bringing about God's kingdom on earth. It's a continuation. But we see it had a profound effect on those early Christians in the way that they lived, how they worshipped, how they prayed, how they had all things in common. And that was what was attractive. And so as we look at Pentecost and try to work out what might that mean for us, I think there are some questions that we look at ourselves and as a church in the world, you know, are we united, and is the way we live distinct from those in the world that we live that don't share our faith? In the same way as the first disciples, the first Christians, as they were called, was distinct and were seen as being distinct because of their behaviour and the way that they lived and were attractive, are we in that same way as attractive? Are we as distinct in the things that we do and the things that we say? It impacted how they worshipped. It impacted how they lived their lives. It impacted what they said and did. And maybe one of the things, as we look, as perhaps we should be more spirit-led in the way that we live, should we perhaps be more spirit-led in the way that we speak and speak out for people, perhaps who can't speak a language that is understood? How do we make sure that we are communicating in the words that people will understand the good news that we have? It's interesting as well that the disciples in the Acts of the Apostles are not terribly concerned with structures about the church. Now, structures are important. As you grow, you need structures. But they weren't terribly worried about structures. They lived out their lives, and the structures followed. And perhaps a challenge to us as a world church is, do we perhaps focus a little bit too much on our structures rather than the kingdom of God and speaking out to those who we would like to express that same in a feeling of joy that we have because of the relationship we have with God through Christ, as we too are infilled by the Spirit? Perhaps we need to be a little bit more Spirit-led in how we act and in our structures and in what we say. Speaking out for others who perhaps can't speak out for themselves, speaking to others in languages and words that they can understand. When I was just trying to jot some notes down for this sermon, yes, I do have notes. I always think the best spontaneous things are quite well prepared. But as I was jotting down some notes, I've got a couple of external discs on my PC. And the mains plug that powers them was just getting a little bit loose. And so I keep getting this message, and you're probably familiar with it when you connect a disc, you know, disc G is now connected, what do you want to do? You know, then you'd start working, and all of a sudden, without you knowing, it would disconnect, and then all of a sudden you get the message again, you know, it's reconnected, what do you want to do? And in the end, I just want it to work. You know, you get this message, just coming back, what do you want to do? And I just wonder sometimes if God sees us a little bit like that. You know, he wants us to get a bit more reconnected, perhaps reconnected with the Spirit. And he says to us, so what shall we do? What do you want to do? In that reconnection, what shall we do? How do you want to live? How do you want to be? How do you want to speak? Let's get reconnected. Amen.
Amen.